Excuse me. Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We count it a great privilege to join you once more this morning for a little look into the scriptures. We have been on a thought this week. We have titled, Where Art Thou? It's taken from the scripture in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? What we're looking at this week are relationships. God understood that something in the relationship between him and Adam had been broken. Not only between him and Adam, but in the relationship between Adam and Eve and Adam and the serpent. The message this week is an opportunity to consider our walk before the Lord. How is our relationship? This is key. Adam knew something was broken. In the presence of the Lord, there is no hiding. We too will understand if we are no longer standing where we once did. That is the beauty of the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, His brings His presence upon us and allows us a chance to ponder and to contemplate. What is my relationship with the Lord? Am I standing where I once did? Am I closer today than I was in times past? Or has some things come in and hindered my relationship with the Lord? We know that we live in an hour of time where the abundance of iniquity and the darkness and the lukewarmness around us affects many people. It is a struggle at times and a battle that we face to keep our hearts in line with the Word of God and in tune and on fire for God. Today we want to look at spiritual relationships, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look to three different points that define our relationship when we become part of the body of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says this, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. A couple important points here. When we are born again, when we become part of the body of Christ, we have been brought into the household of faith. The relationship we're going to look at today is this family that we've been made partakers of. In the scripture, he tells us we need to do good unto all men, but it also allows us to know that we have been brought into a family. Receiving eternal life brings me into a family. And even as in the natural family, there are principles that must be applied to allow this family to live in peace with one another. In Psalms 133 and verse 1, the scriptures declares this, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God's desire is to see his children dwelling together in unity, in peace, in a blessed household together. I think about this in the natural, what a blessing it is for a father to come home and his children aren't arguing and bickering and his wife and his family are all welcoming him into a peaceful environment. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, it says this, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's simple instruction, but I wonder sometimes how often it is neglected. What the Lord is telling us to be free to fully worship the Lord, he would ask that our relationship with our brothers and sisters be brought into order. He'd give us a way to correct these things. And then sometimes we wonder why our worship seems to be limited or our prayer life. And the problem isn't just our relationship with God, but it is the relationship with his family. Because we have to understand our brothers and sisters are his children. The second point is it's not only are we partakers made part of the household of faith, a family, we're born again, but now we not only a child of God, but we become disciples. Disciples is another word that we'll use to describe the children of God. The Lord asks us to learn of Him. The disciple comes from the word discipline. And what it is definitely talking about is training, instruction, and correction to encourage spiritual growth and holiness. It was to lead us into righteousness and peace. It not only involves rebuking, but it involves teaching and guiding believers to learn to align our will with God and become more like Christ. Its ultimate purpose is for our ultimate good. It is instruction is how to please God and also how to interact with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the scripture says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." What we understand here is not a judgment upon our eternal life, but it is the question, really, what did we do with what was given unto us? Many times when I hear people speak about the judgment seat of Christ, the focus will be, how have we moved under inspiration? And I agree wholly with that. When God inspires us, when His Spirit would move upon us, He would ask us to do things under the anointing. And how we move under the anointing are not only what we do, but the motivation of our heart. These things will all be exposed in that day and hour, and God will reward us, or we will lose reward over how faithful we were to that anointing upon our life. But then I thought about this scripture. It's in James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." What I'm looking at is not only should we move under inspiration, but we should move under instruction. When we look at the scriptures, they give us instructions how we should, how our relationship with God should be. But it also, as we spoke yesterday, it talks about how our relationship with others should be. God would ask of us to apply this word. We read our Bibles. That's a great blessing to us. But also we come together with brothers and sisters and we hear the word of God expounded. What James is talking about here is many times people listen to a message. They can say it's a very good message. But the question is, are we applying these things, these principles into our life? I hear people say, you know, I just don't feel led to do something. But we don't have to have an anointing or have a special feeling to follow His instructions. He would ask of us to have kindness and compassion and love one for another. When I read the scriptures and I look this up, it says there are over 50 one another commands or instructions in the New Testament. When He speaks about one another, He's not talking about our interaction with the world. He's talking about our interactions with our brothers and sisters. This brings us back to what the Lord said. What we should do is whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good, not only to the people of this world, but especially the people, our brothers and sisters in Christ. As I said, many, many scriptures in the Bible that tell us how we ought to live, how we ought to interact, how our relationship ought to be with our brothers and sisters. I want you to consider this. I believe when we stand before the Lord, not only will he examine us or bring to light the times that he inspired us and we were obedient to that anointing, but also he will look upon our life and said, did you follow these instructions in relationship to our brothers and sisters? I'm just going to bring out a couple points today. What he says about one another. The scripture says that we should love one another. Many different definitions of love, but one I looked in the scripture, and it is really to esteem something as valuable. When we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to esteem them as valuable. The second one is we ought to be at peace one with another. When the Lord brings us together into fellowship and he brings us and makes us part of a body of Christ, the purpose should be that we are coming into an environment of peace. I see many times in the church world, it seems like brothers and sisters are fighting and contentions, and what brings these things about is just carnality. But if we look at the Word of God, we will understand that his desire, and his desire ought to be our desire, is to live at peace with one another. Another, the third point, he says, don't bite, devour, and consume one another. In other words, our relationship ought to be an encouragement to one another, not a not something that would tear us down. He said this, don't envy one another. When I see the blessings of God upon my brothers and sisters, it ought to make me rejoice. It ought not to bring me envy in within my heart. The fifth point, he said to forgive one another. If he would ask me to forgive my brothers and sisters, it allows me to know that there are times that they will do things that will offend me. They'll do things that I would not have done. But that's part of a relationship. We learn that we are different. And sometimes things happen that might be offensive to us. But the Lord asks us, Lord, to maintain the unity. And by doing this, by forgiving one another, we can do this. He said this, speak no evil of one another. When I talk to others about my brothers and sisters in Christ, what are the words that I speak? Am I focused on their flaws and their failures, or am I even like Christ, that I would see the good within them? And even if I see the faults and failures, that it's not something that I want to bring to light in the eyes of others, but I want to build them up and speak well of them. The Bible says this, that we should confess our sins to one another. There's only one way we can do that, is if we can trust one another. So I believe this, when he's telling us to confess our sins to one another, he's asking us to be vulnerable, to trust one another, to believe that I can entrust you with my struggles, and you would help me along life's journey. The scripture says this, that we should serve one another. We're not called to rule our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a very good message, not only for the people, but for the ministry. We're called to be servants, even as Christ served. He said that if we would wash one another's feet, that we would find joy in this. So we're called to serve our brothers and sisters, the household of faith. The scripture asks us to do this, to bear one another's burdens. When we look at this scripture, we understand that sometimes in this life there are struggles and things are hard. But God has given us a family. He's given us one another for a purpose, that two people are able to carry a burden. It becomes lighter when others are helping. And he's given us the ability, Lord, the compassion, Lord, the understanding of others' burdens, because many times we have faced the same things, and he's given us these things to help us bear one another's burdens. The Lord said to comfort one another. He said, with the comfort that we are comforted. We experience things in this life, in the battles and in the trials and the tests. And in these things, we become stronger. And when we see a brother or sister and that they're facing some of the exact same battles that we faced at one time, that in these hours of time, the Lord would give us a word, bring back an experience to our heart, and in these things that we can be a comfort one to another. The Lord would ask us to encourage and build up one another. The words that we've been given, the instructions that we see in the scripture, the word of God, it is not only to encourage us, but it has given us the ability to encourage one another. Thank the Lord that when one of us falls, there is another that is there to help us up. It's great encouragement to me that not only can I be an encouragement, but when I need encouragement, I have brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is what this one another is speaking about over and over and over, our brothers and sisters in Christ. A couple more things. He said this, we need to pray one for another. It's a beautiful thing that we have given the relationship with God, the access into a throne of mercy and grace, an ability, Lord, to being brought into that relationship. But the beautiful thing is, not only are we in a relationship with God, that we have brothers and sisters, they too are in a relationship, and they have an ability to cry out unto God, and to have an impact upon our life, to strengthen our life and encourage us. And the last thing I will mention today, it's a simple thing. The scripture asks us this: be kind to one another. It's amazing sometimes when people they claim to understand the scripture and they claim to have received great mysteries, but they lack in simple kindness one to another. This is what the Lord would ask. If we would be kind one to another, then truly we will dwell together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe when the Lord looks at his people in the kindness to one another, not only does it enhance our relationship one with another, it enhances our relationship with God. May we consider one another. May we consider ourselves. How does God view my relationship with him and my relationship with the family, the household of faith that he's brought me into? A little bit more to speak on this thought. We will let this go for this morning. I'm thankful for God's presence. I'm thankful that he will be with us. Early morning for many of you, kind of late in the evening here for me. May God bless you. I appreciate you. I love you. I love the Lord. Thankful for his presence.